This is Backseat Box Office, episode number 201, for the weekend of August 22nd to August 24th. This is Jeff.
And this is Art.
And we are the Backseat Producers, and you are listening to Backseat Box Office. On the plus side of 200, Art, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. I am tired.
Tired of movies?
Oh, no, just a long day. One of those days, you know, and it was hot and humid out here in the Chicago area. One of those days where you just can't drink enough water. You get kind of glunky, you know, you move and you glunk because you're just not processing the water fast enough. Days like that just wear me out.
All right. Well, hopefully you can be energetic for another hour, and then you can sleep as long as you want, unless your darling daughter might have something else to say with that. Okay, so let's start with how last week's box office did. At number one, for the second week in a row, we had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Came in at $28.5 million. At number two, even though I wanted it to be number one, Guardians of the Galaxy came in at $21.5 million. At number three, Let's Be Cops came in at $17.8 million. At number four, The Expendables 3 came in at $15.8 million. And at number five, The Giver came in at $12.3 million. And I am thankful for everybody because everyone picked movies in the top five and we don't have to keep going down the list.
Yeah.
So now that we know how the box office did, why don't you tell us how all our lovely listeners did with their picks?
I will tell you how the lovely listeners did with their picks. You know, a couple of things. You talk about that was really close between Guardians and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I mean, just $3 million separating them. And as much as you wanted Guardians to be on top, I mean, if you look at the total grosses right now, one is up over, you know, $200 million. The other one's up only over $100 million. So Guardians is still doing fantastically. On to how everybody did.
Okay, so we're going to start with Kugron, because Kugron did the best out of everybody. He had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at 1, Guardians at 2, Expendables 3 at 3, and Let's Be Cops at 4, and The Giver at 5. So he was off by 1 on Expendables and Let's Be Cops, so he lost 2 points there, so he ended up with a 23. I came in next with a 21. I also had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at 1. Don't say that fast, folks. Number 2, Guardians of the Galaxy at 3, Expendables 3. 4, I had The Giver, and 5, I had Let's Be Cops. So I was off on Expendables 3 by 1. I was also off by 1 on The Giver, but I was off by 2 on Let's Be Cops, and that knocked me down to 21.
And then we have Tad.
This is Tad calling with my picks for the week. I'm going to go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at number 1, Expendables 3 at number 2, Guardians of the Galaxy at number 3. I'm going to go with The Giver at number 4 and Let's Be Cops at number 5. Good luck, guys. I did see Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles this week, and I'll call in a little bit later with a review for that. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for the voicemail, Tad. Tad went with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in the top spot, Expendables 3 in the second spot, costing him 2 points, Guardians in the third spot, costing him a point, The Giver in the fourth spot, costing him a point, and Let's Be Cops in the fifth spot for another 2 points, bringing him to a total of 19. And now we get into the real pain. So I gambled, and I stuck the Expendables in the top spot, and that cost me 6 points. And you know, if that had been all I had done, I would have, you know, still had 19 like Tad, but it just goes downhill from there. So I had Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles out of a spot, costing me 1. Guardians off by one, The Giver off by one, and then Let's Be Cops in the Bottom off by two, giving me a total of 14 points. Yeah, I don't think I've done that bad in quite some time.
Yeah, it's okay, Art. You're still winning Art House.
Yeah, they, you know, little victories. So that brings us to the leaderboard. So on the leaderboard, in the top spot, we have Cougaron with 22.75. In the second spot, we have you, Jeff, with 22.42. In the third spot, we have Britt with 21.6. In the fourth spot, we have Tad with 21.25. In the fifth spot, we have me with 21.14. And in the sixth spot, we have Nick with 19.6. And that is our current leaderboard.
And let's revisit the discussion about our scoring system, that it is not fair, but we're doing it for fun, so whatever.
Yes.
Just that Brittany's jumped up to third, even though she did not submit picks, and the two people that did submit picks went down under, so they're fourth and fifth, talking about Tad and my co-host Art. So, since we're done with the leaderboard, let's take a walk over to Art's house. We have the three usual players. Art and myself both had the trip to Italy, which was the winning play. The trip to Italy came in with a per-screen average of $23,904. And Father Beast picked Ragnarok, which might be Norse for Big Fat Zero, because it got no, we didn't have any results. So if we figure that out, we will adjust it, but it's going to have to do pretty damn good to get the point. So, and just let me say, I still love you, Father Beast. I kid because I care. Okay. So we have Art got a point, so he goes up to six. Father Beast stays at 4 points, and I got a point, doubling my score to two. Yay me.
Woo.
And now we leave Art's house, and let's talk about the $25 Amazon gift card contest. We had Cougaron with the top score, so he gets one entry into the hat. And spoiler alert, Tad leaves a voicemail review of a movie that we will play during share time. So he also gets an entry into the hat. So now we have three tickets with Nick's name on it, three tickets with Tad's name on it. We have two for Cougaron and one for Brittany. So there, our hat is filling up. Hopefully we have a lot of room for the rest of the season, because we still have, I think, 5 more weeks left.
Yes.
Or probably more than that. But who's counting? Okay, so we are done with last week's business. Now let's go to this week. And Art, I believe there are three movies coming out this weekend in wide release. Why don't you tell us about the first one?
Yes, I will. So I am leading off with Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. It is rated 42% rotten on the tomato meter. 12 reviews counted, 5 fresh, 7 rotten. 96% want to see it out of 130,000 people. That is a lot of users with a high rating there for a movie that I really didn't think a lot of people want to see. This should be interesting. Co-directors Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller reunite to bring Miller's visually stunning Sin City graphic novels back to the screen. In Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, weaving together two of Miller's classic stories with new tales, the town's most hard-boiled citizens cross paths with some of its most more notorious inhabitants. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For is the follow-up to Rodriguez and Miller's 2005 groundbreaking film, Frank Miller's Sin City. Rated R, 1 hour and 42 minutes, directed by Frank Miller and Robert Rodriguez, written by Robert Rodriguez and Frank Miller. Starring Josh Brolin, Mickey Rourke, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Jessica Alba, Rosario Dawson, Bruce Willis, Ray Liotta, Jeremy Piven.
I think Ava Green is supposed to be the big villain in this one.
Really?
I think.
And who... Okay. And she is... I don't recognize the name.
Ava Lord? That's her character's name.
No. Who is Ava Green in real life?
She was in the 300 sequel.
Oh,
she was
okay.
She was also the love interest in Casino Royale. And she was also, I think she played Morgan Le Fay in the Arthur Oh my god. The scripted series on, I want to say, HBO or Showtime.
Okay. All right. Well, and then a couple other names of interest here. Danny Trejo. And then the last two on the list. So this must have been in production for some time, because we also have Brittany Murphy and Michael Clark Duncan.
Yeah, that was interesting, because you know Murphy, I think, passed away a while back.
Yeah.
And Michael Clark Duncan might have been last year.
Right.
But
my brain is just not worked like that. I can't recall dates that happened in the past. That is all
I'm
I
just
know.
I'm just guessing here, you know. This might be a wait for video. I watched the first one on video.
Yeah, pretty much. Same here.
All right.
It was good. I mean, I own it now, but yeah, not in any big hurry. So, why don't you lead us into our next movie?
All right. So, let's go from the fanboy end of the spectrum to the, I guess, you almost could say fangirl, because, yes, we have another YA novel that's been made into a movie. The next movie is If I Stay, which is right now 50% on the tomato meter. Out of 12 reviews, exactly 6 fresh and 6 rotten. Hey, fun with math. Okay. Of the Rotten Tomato audience, or users, however you want to go with it, 95% of 21,084 people want to see it. Okay, so here's what we got. Mia Hall, played by Chloe Grace Moretz, thought the hardest decision she would ever face would be whether to pursue her musical dreams at Juilliard or follow a different path to be with the love of her life, Adam, played by Jamie Blackley. But what should have been a carefree family drive changes everything in an instant, and now her own life hangs in the balance. Caught between life and death for one revealing day, Mia has only one decision left, which will not only decide her future, but her ultimate fate. If I Stay is based on the best-selling novel of the same name. Rated PG-13, 1 hour and 46 minutes. It's a drama written by Shauna Cross, directed by R.J. Cutler. Other names you might recognize, Stacy Keach plays Gramps. Other than that, yeah, I'm going to try to avoid this one, but I know my daughter's hot and heavy to go see it because she read the book and she loved it.
Stacy Keach, wasn't he just on the last list?
Yes, I think he was on the other movie too. So
he was.
His agent is earning his money.
There you go. Okay. Now that brings us to our last movie. So, it is When the Game Stands Tall. No reviews yet. 89% want to see it out of 7,850 users. Inspired by a true story, When the Game Stands Tall... computer not scrolling.
Sorry, just start it again when you're ready.
Yes, I know.
Okay, just make sure.
Inspired by a true story, When the Game Stands Tall tells the remarkable journey of legendary football coach Bob Lodecour, Jim Caviezel.
Go ahead.
Yes, do you have a correction?
I've heard Lodecour.
Lodecour? Yeah. Sure. I don't watch sports, so I have no clue.
Yes, go ahead.
Who took the De La Salle High School Spartans from obscurity to a 151-game winning streak that shattered all records for any American sport. When the streak is broken and tragedy strikes the team, Coach Ladd must teach his players and the entire town that it's not about how you fall, but how you get back up. Rated PG, 1 hour and 55 minutes. Directed by Thomas Carter and Thomas Carter II. Written by Neil Hayes, starring Jim Caviezel, Michael Chiklis, Laura Dern, Clancy Brown, and a couple others.
Yeah, so I've actually heard of De La Salle because my father-in-law is a big sports fan, and he knows a lot of coaches at the high school team near us. And I don't think Upland's ever played them. But they won 151 straight games, starting in 1992 and lasting to 2004, which is unheard of. And it might be more of, just another example of, in high school sports, about, athletics inching ahead of academics kind of thing. Because it might as well have been a college. They had a lot of pros that came through that program. And you know, it's a good story, and you know how when you win 151 straight games, I mean, how you handle that loss, you know. But you know, this is a sports movie. Probably know what's going to happen. But you know, I might. I think my wife. Excuse me. I think my wife would like to go see this.
Interesting.
Because
Okay.
we're both sports fans, and I think that the streak ended on September 4th, 2004. So it's almost like the 10-year anniversary almost. Or it
Wow.
will be in a couple weeks, and you know,
Right.
it's not necessarily a coincidence that football season's starting in a couple weeks.
Big push.
Yeah. So I'm mildly interested. I'm you know, I enjoy Caviezel.
Same here.
Yeah. So we'll see. We will definitely see.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of new movies.
All right, so now we can get the picks. And
Yes.
since I think I got higher than 14, I think I will go first.
Go ahead.
Well,
Yes, higher than 14. Well, not a very high bar to set.
don't want to rub it in, but I know too late. Okay, at number one, I don't know what's going to happen. This
Nope.
is one of those weeks where there isn't really a strong contender of a new movie to hit number one. I mean, it's, you know, there's it probably is a slight favorite to be number one, but I'm gonna go with If I Stay, just because. What's the female moviegoer want to go see, or what
Right.
movie does the female moviegoer want to go see? At number two, I'm reluctantly gonna go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I keep waiting for a word of mouth bump for Guardians, but I think that there's been a lot of words said. And I don't know if it's gonna surge back up. I'm hoping. At Guardians at number three, I think Sin City is still obscure enough that it's not gonna crack the top three. I could be wrong. And at number five, I just don't think Let's Be Cops is strong enough to put it at number five. So I'm gonna put When the Game Stands Tall at five. And
Okay.
for my art house pick, the first poster I saw was for Are You Here? And I saw Owen Wilson, Galifianakis, and Amy Poehler. And then I was sold until I saw Love is Strange, which is a movie about a gay couple, an older gay couple, played by Alfred Molina and John Lithgow. So I'm definitely interested in seeing those two actors in a movie of this sort. So I'm going to go with Love is Strange.
Okay.
And those are my picks. Art, is your turn.
Okay. So I am also putting If I Stay in the top spot. I'm going to go with Sin City in the second spot. I'm going to put Guardians above Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles because based on the percentages that they fell last week, I think Guardians can take Turtles in this coming week. And then I'm going to go to When the Game Stands Tall in the fifth spot. Now, it was a very similar experience for me because I was totally sold on Love is Strange until I saw To Be Takei with George Takei. And that sounds really interesting. It's more of a biopic on, his life and his rise and, from the internment camps during World War II to, becoming, someone with 5 million followers on Facebook and who knows how many on Twitter. And it also looks like it has interviews with William Shatner, Leonard Nimoy, Walter Koenig. I am blanking on Uhura's name.
Oh, Nichelle Nichols?
Michelle Nichols. Yeah, Michelle Nichols. So it looks like we got a lot of the old cast to come in and comment on working with him. And I think a lot of Star Trek people are going to go out and see that one. So we'll see how that goes. And those are my picks. I also have picks from Brittany.
Oh,
And
shoot.
they look a little crazy. She's going with Sin City at number one, When the Game Stands Tall at number two, If I Stay at number three, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles at number four, and Guardians at number five. Those are her picks.
Okay, so Sin City 1, When the Game Stands Tall at 2, If I Stay at 3, Ninja Turtles at 4, Guardians at 5.
Yep.
Okay, and I also have an art house pick for Father Beast. He is going with Leprechaun Origins.
Oh, okay.
So that did not show up on Box Office Mojo, but I think you said that it's on Rotten Tomatoes, so we'll see how
it
that
is
does.
On the Rotten Tomatoes okay, list. Very yeah.
Good. All right, so we are done with picks. Now let's get to share time. So Art, what did you watch last week?
Okay, well I was a bit of a slow week. Hold on. Okay. So, it was a bit of a slow week. I was keeping up on some of my regular shows. A little more Avatar. Another episode of Skin Wars. Have I talked about Chasing Life?
I think you mentioned it 2 or 3 weeks ago. But that's an ABC okay, Family well, show.
Yes, yes. A lady dealing with cancer and a lot of family drama. I mean, this family is messed up. The father has passed. The father, it is discovered by the daughters that the father was having an affair. There is a half sister out there somewhere. The father had a brother, and the brother was originally dating the wife, and now because of the older daughter getting cancer, they're kind of reuniting, and I'm totally sucked in. it's pretty sad. It is melodrama at its finest. And the younger daughter is, you know, exploring her sexuality, thinking she may be gay or bi or not sure. But there's just a lot going on, and I've been watching that. We picked up the Blu-ray for Epic. We started watching it, but the bad guys were a little too scary to be watching that late at night. And so Aubrey is like, I don't want to watch it. I love me some shows with little peoples in them, and so I am sure I'm going to thoroughly enjoy it, but I've only seen about the first 20 minutes.
Refresh my memory in Epic, that's the one about the...
It's a battle between kind of like, they're kind of sprites, little people, fairies, there's, you know, flower people around. It's sort of like Arthur and the Invisibles meets Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
But there's a girl who gets shrunk down to their size and kind of lives in their world for a little bit. Her father is this disconnected scientist who is trying to find the little people. And I think her mother had just passed, and that's why she went to live with the father and ends up kind of exploring this world. So Epic looks pretty good so far, but I've only seen a little bit. And that is it for a share time for me.
All right. Well, I was a busy guy last week.
Tell me about it.
Busy, not as in, you know, spend time with the family, blah, blah, blah. I got around to seeing 5 movies last week.
Holy cow.
Maybe in 6-ish, because one night while I was listening to the Sex and the City 2 while I was playing Civilization 5, even though I didn't watch the whole movie. And you know, I probably will not sit down and watch it because you know, it was okay. And then I think we watched about 20 minutes of, Life Itself, I think is the name of the movie. And it had, Katherine Heigl and Josh Duhamel as two single people that get forced together because their friends who had a baby, I guess both passed away. And so they got to watch this kid, and they end up together at the end of the movie. Not spoiling anything.
Interesting.
But okay, so let's get to the movies that I watched in their entirety. The first movie that I watched was a Netflix movie, and this was a concert film by comedian Bill Burr, who could read the phone book and I would crack up. But this was one that he did in 2009. It's called Let It Go, and my side still hurt, and I watched it like 4 days ago. He is one of those angry comics, but not overly so. But he's from Boston, okay. And just the anger plus the accent is hilarity in my book. So I really enjoy his comedy, and it was on my instant queue, and My wife and I had a little staycation because we celebrated our 15th wedding anniversary last week. So,
congrats again.
Thank you. Thank you. So I ended up taking advantage of the hotel Wi-Fi and knocking out at least one Netflix movie. And the next morning, we went to a couple movie. We went and saw The 100-Foot Journey. If you remember, what was that about? It's about an Indian family that decides to leave India and they want to make their fortune in Europe by opening a restaurant. And they end up opening a restaurant 100 feet across from one of the most highly regarded restaurants in that particular section of France. Helen Mirren is the kind of the proprietor of this other restaurant. And it was kind of the French culture versus Indian culture kind of juxtaposition. It had funny parts, but it was also dramatic also, but we both enjoyed it. You know, it's another food porn movie. It was the same director who did Chocolat. So he is very good at filming food and food preparation. There were multiple love interests. Yeah, it moved for some of the movie and then it got slow a little bit, but it was definitely an enjoyable movie for me and my wife. I don't even know who played the dad of the Indian family, but he was great. So I would say, you know, it's a good matinee and you don't need to watch it in the theater, but, I enjoyed it very much. Okay. That was Saturday. Sunday, my son is bothering me to let's go see Ninja Turtles. Let's go see Ninja Turtles. So we went and saw Ninja Turtles on Sunday morning. I enjoyed it, but I was disappointed. Now, I was disappointed probably for no good reason, just because, you know, Michael Bay was a producer. And I can definitely see the Michael Bay methodology at play, that there were things that showed up in Transformers that kind of were the same design decisions, for lack of a better term, in Ninja Turtles.
Right.
So, you probably are more steeped in the Ninja Turtles lore than I am.
Oh yeah.
Let me ask you a couple questions. In the comics, how tall were the turtles?
They were short. They were probably like between 4'8" and 5'2".
Okay. As you can see in the trailer, they're over 6.5 feet tall.
Yeah, they're ginormous.
So they turn them into monsters. I had a little problem with that. I had a problem with Donatello. They gave Donatello glasses. And it just bothered me. I don't know why. And this is probably going to be a minor spoiler for some people. So I'll give you a chance to fast forward if you want. April, who was played by Megan Fox, she was directly tied into their backstory, which I didn't remember from the comics.
Like, what do you mean directly tied into their backstory? Like, how they came about?
Yeah. Backstory is that her dad and this other scientist came up with the mutagen and gave it to turtles. And so they have video of playing with the turtles when she was a little girl. And they named them after Renaissance painters. And then then something happened to her dad. And, you know, I can't really fault the individual movie, but there seems Hollywood kind of has this thing, and Marvel's doing it too, where instead of having someone being superpowered, they're coming up with technological or technological explanations for basically what they do. And I'm talking about Falcon.
Right.
The Falcon suit. And they kind of did the same thing. They gave Shredder techno armor, which was, I mean, it was cool, but I think it kind of went against the story, the original, you know, the Ninja Turtles story kind of thing.
Yeah. I sometimes I feel like they make changes just to differentiate themselves. And I often feel like that's not what people want. You know, we want you to tell a good story, but we also want, you know, some continuity with the characters that we really connect with.
Yeah.
You know, like the whole, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say another choice that they made was they kind of changed the, you know, the actual soldiers for the Foot Clan, where they're more like army soldiers as opposed to, you know, martial artists.
Right.
You know, not saying that need to be expert martial artists, but there was, you know, there was a lot of, you know, firefights kind of thing in this movie.
Right.
They did, I think they did a good job with Michelangelo about him being the comic relief.
Right.
I felt that Leonardo was barely in this movie as far as dialogue and as far as the leadership role that he is supposed to have.
Right.
Because
right.
I remember that there's a big rivalry between Leo and Raphael.
Yes, very much so.
And I don't think it was kind of different. And another thing is Megan Fox is a beautiful woman, but why does she have to get lip implants? I feel like there's a lot of women walk around Hollywood that are walking around with wax lips now. Because I don't know. It just saddens me. But that was something that, you know, certain parts of the movie. I don't think that she was a great April, but I don't know, maybe she has Polaroids of Michael Bay, and that's how she got the
show.
I don't know.
Something.
But it was definitely enjoyable. My son loved it. He was charged up for the next hour after we walked out of the theater. There's a very good stinger at the end that has nothing to do with like a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. It's just Raphael and Michelangelo screwing around on the New York skyline.
Okay.
And, you know, there's a couple parts where I think the writers kind of phoned it in, and I kind of would have went for a different joke, but maybe we'll talk about that after you see it. So that was Ninja Turtles. And so that's three movies. Two more movies that I watched on DVD. One was Bride and Prejudice, which I'm going to say right now, it's a chick flick. As you can tell, because it's, you know, it's mainly based on Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice. But this is a Bollywood movie. Or it's more of a fusion between Hollywood and Bollywood, because it's the director who did Bend It Like Beckham. It has this one woman who's like this great Bollywood movie star, and I'm not even going to try to butcher her name. But it's a musical, and it was funny, and I enjoyed it. I watched it by myself, and I had to show it to the wife and my daughter, and we all loved it. And, you know, it's basically about Indian family. Mom wants to marry off her four daughters, and it's basically about that they meet, you know, Saeed from Lost, and it kind of plays one of the suitors, and he shakes his behind in this movie. I didn't realize how much dancing and singing there were in this movie, but it was, and, you know, in the behind the scenes, they say, you know, I told him they need to get a stunt double because I can't dance. And he said, no, 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 we got the choreographer. You'll be fine. You'll be fine. And he did a really good job. But it was more funny than I thought it was going to be. And we enjoyed it. And if you want to check it out, I noticed after I got the DVD that you can watch the movie in its entirety on YouTube. All you got to do is obviously search Bride and Prejudice. And I was talking to someone at work, and they said that you can also watch Splash on YouTube that way. So we're going to have to look into that. Okay, so, and this is the last movie, and I kind of talked about in previous weeks about that I need to watch movies that I think look bad, but give them a chance, they might surprise you. And this was another movie that surprised me. And the main thing that surprised me was Kevin Hart. Sometimes I watch his stand-up and I think he's hacky, but I watched About last night. Because I heard on another podcast that this is a comedy. They didn't go for the drama like they did in the original About last night, the one with Rob Lowe and Demi Moore. Yeah, because I don't remember that being funny at all. I remember Jim Belushi was kind of the screwball in that one. But
he was kind of the screwball. There were some little bits here and there because it was, you know, kind of a romantic comedy with more of a, you know, a darker bent.
Right. But another reason I got it is I'm almost done with Almost Human, and I'm really becoming a Michael Ealy fan. And he's the guy in the other couple in this About last night. And so there's kind of like, there's the A couple and the B couple. The A couple, like, have a really good chance to be together and have a great life. And then the B couple are just two wild, crazy, passionate kids that are just off the hook crazy. And that's Kevin Hart and Regina Hall. And they were both great. Regina Hall, I think, held her own with Kevin Hart, which isn't, I don't think, is easy to do. But I I really enjoy this movie. This one, once things got real in their relationship, the movie kind of slowed down to a crawl, but they kind of saved it at the end. I mean, again, you know it's going to happen. But there are some good scenes that I was, you know, I was laughing pretty good at the end. Okay, and I think those are the five movies that I've watched. So now that we're done with our little thing we call share time, now we can get the news. Art, what would you want to talk about?
Oh my goodness, where to start? So...
Or which news article is Art going to bird dog me on?
I'm not bird dogging you on anything because I need to do some serious cleanup on my computer here. It is a dragging. Oh my goodness. What is going on?
Would you like me to go first while you pull up your first one?
Sure. Why don't you?
Okay, so I have three... I guess you can say announcements, not necessarily in any order, even though the first one is the one that I'm most excited about. Well, it's like 1 and 1A. Number one, Disney's Star Wars Rebels. The premiere date has been revealed. So Friday, October 3rd at 9 p.m. Eastern and Pacific on Disney Channel, they'll be showing the first episode of Star Wars Rebels. Unless you're at Comic-Con and you already watched it. Unless... Let me take that back. There's going to be a sneak preview of the first episode if you have the Watch Disney XD app starting Monday, September 29th.
Oh, bad people.
Yes. So if you really want to watch it, you can watch it on a tiny screen.
Yeah.
So just to refresh your memory, Star Wars Rebels takes place between Episode 3 and Episode 4. It is set in a time where the Empire is securing its grip on the galaxy and hunting down the last of the Jedi Knights as a fledgling rebellion against the Empire is taking shape. The crew of the ghost starship, Jedi Kanan or Kanan, pilot Hera, street smart teenager Ezra, the muscle Zeb, and then warrior Sabine and droid Chopper. So yeah, I am really excited about this, and they even say the visuals are were influenced by Ralph McQuarrie, who did all that great concept art when they were conceptualizing the first Star Wars. Item 1A is that we have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. news. So apparently Mockingbird is going to be in the next season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And so they're casting...
Oh, okay, cool.
They're casting Adrian Palicki, who was on Friday Night Lights. She will be playing Marvel super spy Bobby Morse. They're not exactly saying if she's going to be the traditional Mockingbird, because they kind of, you know, they kind of power down the superpowers a little bit on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., because they're just saying that she's a super spy. And I'm not really familiar with Mockingbird's background, if that is a big departure or a small departure from how she is in the comics.
She's definitely a street-level hero. So she's not, I'm vaguely familiar. She had some interactions with, I think, Spider-Man that I remember. And, yeah, she, you know, carries a pair of Escrima sticks, you know, the short staves.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, basically was like, you know, just a street-level hero. I don't think she has any real powers other than training. I would have to double-check that. But right off the top of my head, I don't think so.
And if you've heard that name before outside of Friday Night Lights, she actually played Wonder Woman in a pilot for NBC, the one that David E. Kelly wrote, but never got anywhere. So it never went. And then item number three, Dwayne The Rock Johnson will be playing Shazam in a future DC movie. I don't know how I feel about that.
I think he fits the kind of the body type. And I think he can carry off that portrayal of Shazam, kind of he's always seemed kind of haughty to me,
mm-hmm.
The way he's portrayed in the comics. So I think Dwayne The Rock Johnson can do that. So I don't really have a problem with it. It'll be interesting to see where that goes. But yeah, I don't know. DC just does not get me as fired up as Marvel currently.
I would agree with you. Okay, all right, you got your news article ready?
I do. I do. I just, this really caught my eye. Frank Miller hates every Batman movie, refuses to watch any of them. So we were just talking about Frank Miller earlier with the release of the new Sin City movie. And I like this. Frank Miller is a comic book author known and admired for his deeply dark brand of visual storytelling. Miller is outright hostile to movie adaptations of characters that he himself didn't have a hand in helming, and that includes every single Batman movie. In fact, he hates them, every single one. So, and he is known for just always kind of being at odds with the studios when he doesn't want to let things go. He doesn't want to, you know, if he's not directly involved in the creation, like he is with both of the Sin City movies, then it's all just crap and garbage. And I just think that's kind of hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, you got it. There's a lot of egos running around, man.
That is very true. Very yeah. true.
Yeah. It's just sad to me. You know, it's...
So you covered a lot of ground down. Oh, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it. There, you know, there's an opportunity to say, you know, they went a different direction than what I came up with, and to, you know, to realize that, you know, you're someone that worked on that IP, that intellectual property, and
right.
I don't know, and just to take it as a slight, I don't know. I don't understand how Hollywood works, probably.
You went on quite a bit on that. I was going to say, you want me to take another one?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So here's another one that caught my eye. And I had not heard this rumor. So the article talks about, we've been hearing rumors of an all-female version of The Expendables. Have you heard that rumor?
No, but I'm intrigued.
Yes. Okay. Nicknamed The Expendables. Bells.
Okay, I'm out.
Saying going back... Yeah, you're out.
Yeah, I'm out on the name because they could have came up with something.
Okay,
better.
Well, I'm sure they will. I'm sure they will. They nicknamed based on the rumors. This mm-hmm. is not saying it's the actual
no,
name.
No, I know.
Yeah, going all the way back to 2012, names like Linda Hamilton, Mila Jovovich have been coming up, but the big little bit of news here is that Sigourney Weaver is passing on the female expendable spinoff.
Good for her.
And I think, you know what? I wish she would do it. I mean, I don't know. Like, okay, the third one is not doing so well, but the first two movies were kind of well received. They, you know, it's a turn off your brain action movie. There's a certain audience out there for it. I'm not going to see those movies, but I still think it's interesting and entertaining, the cast of people they're getting to participate in this, you know, this collection of action heroes throughout the ages. And you know, when it comes to that kind of action hero-y woman, Sigourney Weaver led the pack, you know, with Alien and Aliens and those movies. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. You know, I'm in if they bring in Gina Carano and Ronda Rousey, who I think Carano. I don't know if Carano was in a Expendables movie, but I know Ronda Rousey was in this third one. So I'm almost thinking, you know, if they lower the bar a little bit, or not really lower the bar, but, you know, change their focus to a little more recent as opposed to senior citizens.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I don't know, but I am not the demo that they're going after with Expendables. So
no, or Expendables. Me neither. Yeah, that's if it's on TV and there's nobody else around, I would probably watch it. But other than that, probably not. All right, what else you got?
I have one story, and it's more about box office than movie news.
Okay.
Even though that Guardians of the Galaxy is doing great, and Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles is making a lot of money, and Transformers is doing decently, it's still going to be a record low box office for this year. They're saying that it's unclear whether this that the box office for this year is going to cross $4 billion. They're saying that if you look at just from May 2nd to August 17th, they're currently at $3.699 billion compared to $4.367 that they were at last year. And, okay. You know, interestingly enough, there hasn't been a movie that has flopped as bad as Lone Ranger.
Right.
But there really isn't a movie that is just blowing the doors off this year either. Kind of a bellwether they're looking at is $300 million movies. And so for right now, you got Captain America the Winter Soldier is sitting at $259 right now. And it's still in theaters, but it's probably not going to make another $41 million to get to $300.
Right.
Of movies that I consider active right now, Guardians is sitting at $229. It's got a decent shot to get to $300. And Ninja Turtles is at $124. Good luck in the second week, because they did what, $20 million this last week, and they would have to stay at $20 million without drops. They would have to go another 9 weeks to get over $300. And I'm trying to find Transformers. I'm wondering if I went over it already, if I skipped over it. Yeah, number three, they're at 243 right now. So they're okay. I mean, they're kind of still active. But I was, boo-hoo, Hollywood isn't making as much money as they want. And everyone's saying that, you know, the current Hollywood system is doomed, blah, blah, blah. But just to put it in perspective, I was looking at last year and the year before that, the $300 million movies. So last year, we had four of them. We had three that went over $400 million, and we had one that went over $300. Despicable Me 2 came in at $368 million. Frozen came in at $400 million. Iron Man 3 came in at 409, and Hunger Games: Catching Fire came in at 424, which is amazing considering that Lionsgate is a smaller studio compared to some of the bigger boys, but they had the biggest movie last year. And if we go back to 2012, lest we forget, 2012 Avengers did over $623 million.
Wow,
which is, you know, amazing. Is there a bigger push to get it into more theaters than Guardians? Because, you know, I think Guardians is close to being, you know, as far as quality, is an equal movie to Avengers. It's no way it's doing $623 million.
Nope.
So, yeah, numbers are going down. So that was my last news story. So go ahead and take us out, Art.
Okay. So we've got to go back to comics. Six villains who need to be in Guardians of the Galaxy 2. So I looked over this list, because it's not going to be Thanos, because Thanos is going to be in, you know, the Capstone Avengers movie.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about what kind of directions they can go for cosmic level villains. Number one on the list, the Collector. Not a happy camper right now. He's probably got an axe to grind against the Guardians. Number two on the list, they went with Mistress Death, who we talked about a little, the whole Thanos wanting to court Death, impress her so that she will notice him and like him, and that's why he wants the Infinity Gauntlet to kind of destroy the universe, bring order to all the chaos. Because if there's no life, then nothing grows, nothing changes, everything just stays the same, it's nice and static, and everything's dead. The next one on the list gets a little more complicated. The Magus, or the Magus, I'm not sure which, but it definitely from the last time I saw the Magus, he had an afro, and the comic book was from the early 80s. He is basically a purple version of Adam Warlock. He's an evil, if Adam Warlock's life had gone a different direction. And I forget the exact how they're both in the world at the same time, whatever. But he's basically, you know, what is the Doctor's nemesis? The Master.
Are you talking about Doctor?
Doctor Who. Doctor Who has his nemesis, the Master. Was basically another incarnation of the Doctor.
Oh, okay. All right.
The final incarnation. Okay. So it's kind of that type of setup. So okay. this ties more into Adam Warlock and the Infinity Watch and, you know, the Infinity Gauntlet storyline. So that could be interesting to see, building out the cosmic universe that way.
Interesting.
Yes. Thanos has a son, Thane.
I'm familiar with Thane.
So that could be a... Okay.
Just because of the Facebook game I talked about last week, Thane's in the...
Okay, hey, that's fine. Lights. Sounds like they are doing a good job of pulling from those rosters, getting things out there. I didn't get... Okay, so the last person on the list, I'm going to skip a couple because I just don't think they're interesting. The last one on the list, they put Howard the Duck on the list. And I didn't get that far into the article, but...
That's just comment baiting.
Yeah, they're... I don't even know what to do with that one, because like I said last time, I was utterly blown away that they even let them put Howard the Duck in that movie.
Yeah. You know, the interesting thing about The Collector is that... See, the thing is, I never read any of the Guardians of the Galaxy, so I've never seen The Collector in comics. But okay. I'm kind of thinking of probably an equivalent character or a, I'm struggling to find the words here, but, you know, Talon Card from the Heir of the Empire, where he realizes he's in a much better place as long as he stays neutral.
Right.
So I'd love to see a movie with him, but, you know, if he's going to be the big bad and they got to destroy him. I don't know. I think that kind of goes against his philosophy, if he's anything like Talon.
Yeah. Well, he ends up on the wrong side of people because he wants things that they want.
Right.
You know, I want this. I want that. I want to put this in my collection. And it's, you know, because his first option is to buy it. Well, I will buy that from you. But there are people who say, no, it's not for sale. And then you end up on his bad side because he still wants it, even though you don't want to sell it.
You know, I wonder if they ripped him off in Star Trek Next Generation.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Because the Collector's been around a lot longer than... I remember that guy. I do not remember his name.
It was played by Saul Rubinek. I think his name is Kivas Fajo or something like that. The only reason I remember that is because he was a card in the Star Trek Next Generation collectible card game, of which I have a complete set. I think he was one of the last. Okay. He was one of the last cards I was trying to. So that's why I remember.
Gotcha. Okay. Very cool. So yeah, no, I totally see him as a ripoff of the Collector.
Okay.
So yeah, like I said, I'm really excited to see them build out in this direction into the cosmic level heroes and see what they do, because they just so knocked Guardians out of the park.
You know what's funny?
And that's all I got, sir. What's that?
No, I was just going to say, you know what's funny is I didn't really find it on our news site, so that's why I didn't really talk about it. But I'm reminded that Marvel's going around saying that we're done with origin stories. That... these future movies that are coming in phase 3 and phase 4, you're not going to see how they got their powers, kind of thing. And I think there was one commenter somewhere saying that this makes perfect sense, like, you know, especially if you're going to do a Doctor Strange, because he is the Sorcerer Supreme. You can't do it, you shouldn't do an origin story for someone who, you know, was supposed to be at the top, you know, in his, you know, in what he does. So I thought that was. That was an interesting thing for Marvel to come out with. Or maybe they're just doing a dick move because DC is probably going to be doing a bunch of origin stories.
Yeah, I don't know. They've laid their groundwork, you know? I mean, they've laid their groundwork. The movies are popular. They can really stop trying to build an audience by introducing a character. They can just say, here's the movie. Go watch it. It's good. The story's good. The characters are strong. The special effects are good. Just go enjoy the movie. You know, we're not treating you like children anymore. Oh,
right.
This is why this person is the way they are. You know, there was a little bit of that in Guardians, but it was over and done with very quickly. You know, the whole, you know, getting kidnapped in the beginning of the movie. And they just flow right into the rest of the story. They touch back to it many times.
Right. No, the language for me was a big indicator about how this was going to be a different movie.
Right.
So, by the way, since we're talking about Guardians again, there is another podcast that I listen to regularly. It's called Comedy Film Nerds. One guy's a stand-up. Okay. Well, technically, they're both stand-up comedians, but another one is Chris Mancini is a filmmaker, and they kind of just talk about movies that they've seen and what's coming out on DVD and that kind of thing. But they do spoiler episodes, so they kind of do the backseat producers thing where they just talk about a movie and they analyze the hell out of it. And they recently did a Guardians of the Galaxy one that is absolutely fantastic. And the reason it's fantastic, because they all liked it. And
okay.
I don't know if I can be friends with someone who didn't like Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah, it would be pretty hard, because the movie is just very entertaining. This is just good. Good on a general level. If somebody doesn't like that movie, I think they're just doing it to be contrary at this point.
And also, since we're talking about Guardians, Tad did a wonderful mini review of Guardians, so we are going to play that now.
Hey, Backseat Box Office. This is Tad calling in with my review of Guardians of the Galaxy. There's a little bit of background noise. I'm sorry. I'm kind of in a loud room. Anyway, I loved it. It was great. I don't really know. I mean, I knew who the Guardians of the Galaxy were. I kind of was familiar with the names, but I never really read the book. Didn't know a whole lot about them, but I was excited for the movie. It was really good. I really liked it. The way they kind of picked them, kind of almost goofy characters and made them real and made them, you know, you could understand their motive. You know, Rocket Raccoon, I mean, come on. But, he seemed like a real character for me. And you could understand why he was the way he was. And you know, that he had been, you know, they'd taken a raccoon and basically bioengineered him into this person. And, you know, he didn't quite understand. Anyway, good movie. I loved it. Good character development. It was just a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun at the movie. A lot of the fun was listening to my wife complain. She didn't really like it, but you know, hey, she liked Twilight, so what are you gonna do? I did send in my address to let me know if you guys didn't get that, and I will do it again. Thanks for the show, and go see Guardians. All right, bye.
And thank you, Tad. I am so happy with your message at the end of your voicemail that I think you are now a deputy spokesman for the podcast. And thank you for the voicemail. And that's all I had about that. Art, do you have anything else you want to talk about?
I do not. I am ready to wrap this up for the night.
All right. So that was Backseat Box Office. Thank you, Art. And go see a movie. And thank you for listening. And we will catch you next time.
Good night, everybody.